This is a special edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Here's what happened. I was at work when I got a text from Zane. He says, can we record a very special edition of Turnbuckle Trash? Zane said he had some questions he wanted me to answer. So we'll do that next. Welcome to Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Doctor!
Give me the news.
Yes. What is that? If I asked you to Dave, what's in the headlines? Would I say, doctor, give me the news?
Give me the headlines? Yeah, go. Yeah, you probably would. I always introduce that song as doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving your face.
Atta boy.
Uh-huh. But not you personally. Yeah. I mean, I like you, but, you know, but I'm foul.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, the test, you know, when I say, Dave, I love you. And you would be like, I like you too, dude.
I'm fine.
You know?
I'm fine of you.
Yes.
I love you like a brother. Boy, did I get that a few times when I was dating.
You'd be like, wow, that's kind of awkward.
Yeah. I could think of very many bad jokes about that, but I'm not going to do that. So.
Yes. So, Dave, we recorded last week.
Yep.
We had a guest. I did a nice little segment with Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Evans, your nephew.
Uh-huh. And we also had Juice on with us.
We had Juice for a few minutes,
mm-hmm.
short few minutes. Our good friend Lot, thanks for joining us, Lot. We had lots of fun.
Yeah, we learned a lot from Lot.
So, one thing I wanted to talk to you about real quick today. I read an article just recently. So, the Revival has opted to not renew their contract with the WWE.
Okay.
They've asked for their release, I guess, a couple of times. Their contract is up in July, I believe. I
believe so, yeah.
Is it Dash Wilder that broke his jaw? And they said that they're going to add like 6 weeks onto his contract because he had to sit out for a while with a broken jaw, which that seems kind of shady to me. It's like, really? The guy was hurt.
I don't know what the contract says, you know, but if somebody's injured, then they're injured, and that contract should be, you know. But if it has a clause in there that says injuries will increase it, then that's a legality.
Yeah.
But I don't. I'm like you. I don't think that's fair. So
yeah, that seems a little strange to me. I think they did the same thing with Dean Ambrose, didn't they? When he got. And he was out for a while, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they did. They increased him.
Because he was supposed to be gone before the whole Bane thing,
mm-hmm.
and they made him do that, which he said was completely painful. But so their contract is up. The WWE released the details that they offered him $700,000 apiece.
A lot of money.
For a year contract. That's a lot of money. $700,000.
That's a bunch of bucks.
So, but I guess I read this article and it was Booker T was talking about the Revival. And Booker T says, you know, I got to get my Booker T voice here. Hold on. You know what? If they came to me and they offered me $1 million over 15 years and they says, you know, you're going to get some TV time, but you're not going to win no titles. You're not going to do nothing like that. You're just going to go in there and get your ass whooped week after week. I tell you, I take the $1 million.
Money talks, baby. Shucky, quack, quack.
So you've been in that situation before.
Kinda.
Does money I mean, not that much money, but
no, nowhere maybe, near that kind of money.
Maybe for $700,000, you're willing to just shut up and move on with life. I don't know. What do you think about this whole little deal that's been going on today? This breaking doctor news.
Well, I'll tell you this. I did have a similar situation. I mean, nowhere near the kind of money. It was earlier in my career, and I needed some money. You know, you got to live. And where I was working at the time, I was actually part owner of a radio station. We had to sell it because of some illness of my radio partner. And so I was scrambling to make a few bucks. And I had one radio station offer me a certain amount of money. And I just didn't feel good about it. You know, I just said, no, I just can't do that. And then I had a part-time gig, as they call it in radio, in another town. And I was working two part-time jobs in central Missouri, just trying to make ends meet. Well, the one radio station did offer me a deal, and then I said, no, thank you, because it just didn't feel right. And about 2 days later, the owner of the station calls up and ups the ante quite substantially.
Oof.
And I said, man, you know, so I took the job, and it was one of the worst things I ever did. Working for a man that I wound up not trusting. I mean, he was pretty much a crook. But working for someone just for money, if you are someone who enjoys your work, can take that joy out of what you're doing. So if the revival, if they're not going to enjoy working and they're still going to make good money, I say more power to them. Yeah. Unless they can swallow their pride for a few years, pull in that $700,000 a year and become enhancement talent for the other tag teams, maybe get an occasional feud with somebody there. You know, it's a job. It's their living. It depends on how happy you want to be with what you're doing, whether you can live with yourself being a, quote, jobber, or if you really want to get a little bit more out of your career as far as publicity and being a, have people later down the road say, man, I really like that tag team, The Revival. They were so good and so much fun to watch. But then they signed the big contract and they started getting their butts whomped all over the place by the up-and-comers, and they just became enhancement talent. Do you want people talking about you that way? Me, I can't say either way, to be honest with you. I know for me, when I took the job just because I wanted a little extra money to be able to live, honestly, one of the biggest mistakes of my life.
So, you know, you just talked about like enhancement talent, things like that. You know, the Ascension was kind of a, you know, similar situation where they were, I mean, dude, they were so over in NXT. And I mean, they were just destroying and dominant in NXT. And as soon as they got to the main roster, they were a laughingstock.
Well, that was the writers. The writers did the Ascension wrong. I mean, you got to admit, the way they brought them in, as they were the greatest tag team since the Road Warriors. They were better than the Brain Busters. They were better than the Rock and Roll Express. They were the best tag team ever. And all they were doing was talking about the old tag teams. And then the writers started getting them against some of the old guys, you know, at the, what was it, that reunion show they did in New York City. And they got them busted up by Shawn Michaels and by Triple H and the New Age Outlaws. And they just didn't handle the writing of that very well. There was not an end game to that. And then they did. They just became a laughingstock because here's a team that comes in. They've got all the publicity. They got all the umph to them. And you immediately bury them. And that's what the WWE did to the Ascension Now, the Revival, they gave them a little bit more. They've been the tag team champions. They've done some comedy work. They've had some good feuds. But now, if they're wanting to go back to enhancement talent and to have, you know, their butts whomped up by the Viking Raiders, you know, it all depends on where they want to go with their career and how happy they would be with doing that and all the travel.
Yeah, so, you know, I know a lot of people. I mean, Sting, for example, you know, when WCW went under, Sting could have gone to the WWE and probably could have made, you know, a lot more money than he made at TNA.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had a pretty good gig at TNA, you know, go do a few TV tapings, you know, make a couple hundred grand or whatever. I don't know what his contract entailed, but I'm assuming that. You know what it means to assume, but we'll leave that alone. But, you know, I would imagine somebody like Sting and the talent that he was probably did okay with the money.
Oh, yeah. And then you take, you know, you go back to the Monday Night Wars, okay? Kevin Nash, when he signed that big contract to go to WCW and they did the Outsiders and then the NWO, I remember either reading an article or hearing an interview he did. He said one of the reasons he went was because he could make money and not have to work as many days. There was not as much travel. There was not as much pull on his time. It depends on your lifestyle. If you want to be home, if you like the travel, and if you want more adoration, and you know everybody likes to be liked. So I think that's part of the thing with the Revival saying we don't want to be a laughing stock, and I can't blame them.
So what do you think about some of the guys like Rhino and like RVD and some of these guys that show up in, you know, Impact when they've been, you know, had rock solid careers with ECW and they've had pretty good success in the WWE. Is it a step back for guys like that? Or is it just them saying, you know what? It's not about the money. I'm getting older. It's an easier schedule, and I got a little more freedom with the character, and I can do what I want. I can drop the F-bomb. I can hold girls' boobies in a swimming pool. You know, I mean, what do you think about those types of situations?
You know, every situation is different, Zane, to be honest with you. But if you have maybe you've been let go of your contract or they're not going to renew your contract, sometimes you got to look back and say, do I want to continue working in this business? And most of the guys do. I mean, when you talk to somebody who has been a professional wrestler for years and years and done the travel, more times than not, they love it. They love performing because, and I've said this before on the podcast and I'll say it again, what they do is an art. It's, you know, a fighting art. It's very athletic. It's dangerous. They're telling a story. And whenever you are a performer of any kind and it's in your blood, you want to continue doing it. That's why you see Jerry the King Lawler recently winning a heavyweight championship back in the South, still performing in his 70s, but has the hands-off policy at the WWE where the wrestlers cannot even touch him as far as, you know, on a storyline. So, yeah. But it all depends on what your lifestyle is, whether you enjoy the travel or maybe you want to be a little bit more settled. There's just a lot of things that can go into a man's decision about where he's going to work, or a woman, I should say that. Don't want to be sexist by any means. But where a man or a woman wants to work and can get a job and whether they are happy doing that job. And if the Revival wants to leave the WWE, I say more power to them. Shucky, shucky, ducky, ducky, quack, quack, or whatever Booker T says, you know.
I was thinking while you were saying that, you know, because I wasn't listening to you.
Oh, thank
just
you.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
It
Come
was,
on.
It was the most joke. It was the most eloquent soliloquy. I mean, it was Shakespeare-like, I'm telling you.
I'm sorry, Dave. Were you talking again?
No, I wasn't.
So I don't know why, but I think this too, for some reason, when we're talking about money and we're talking about different promotions, what about like independent guys? You know, I mean, does it say like a guy like Marlon Bishop? No, I wouldn't surprise me if you see Marlon Bishop in NXT within the next 5 years.
He'll be somewhere. I mean, this guy,
he'll be an Impact, he'll be an ROH, he'll FSW, somewhere.
Yeah, he's a wrestler out of Colorado Springs and the, what is it, Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling?
Yeah.
This guy has got the look. He has got the muscles. He's got the personality that when he's in the ring, he owns the ring. I know that I know this for a fact. I'm not going to mention names, but there have been people that have recommended him to other organizations. I know that for a fact. So, he's a great talent. But when you are on the indie scene, you've got to wait for your shot because there's only so many positions at an ROH. There's so many positions for Impact, so many positions for NWA. You know, so you've got to wait your turn, and then when you get your turn, make the most of it. And I would not be surprised to see Marlon Bishop making his way to one of the bigger organizations. You know, he is friends with Moose.
Yeah.
Of the Impact.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're very good friends. Remember when we did that interview with him?
Yeah.
He mentioned that he was a teammate of Moose and Impact and how they had spent some time together, and that's basically how Marlon started thinking about going into wrestling.
Really?
Yeah.
I had forgotten all about that.
Yeah, so he's such a talent.
Listen, you know, I got a pretty good memory, Dave, but it's about the second shortest thing I own.
Well,
so.
You know, I have the Dave Denton Book of Useless Knowledge that's open all the time.
Really?
So yes.
Wow.
But Marlon Bishop, my man, if you listen to this podcast, you are a great, great talent, and we are just so happy that we got to talk to you, and hopefully we can get Marlon back on the podcast soon.
Yeah. So what about the guys like Sin Bodhi, and, you know, his WWE career wasn't that huge, didn't seem to do a lot there, but on the independent circuit from a training role and things like that, the guy, I guess, is like extremely respected.
Uh-huh.
I mean, does a guy like that, you know, there's not, does he book stuff for the money? I mean, for him to come to Salt Lake, they've got to give him a little bit of change, right?
Right. And you remember several years ago, when Tennille Dashwood came in, that was right after her run in the WWE. She came into Salt Lake City. And I'm trying to remember who told me this, but I'm not 100% sure. But her appearance fee was in the thousands of dollars for one day.
Oh.
And plus, they had to fly her in, put her up in a hotel. So, you know, they're being paid, and then they're being paid good money to come in. And then somebody like a Sin Bodhi, did I get his name right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say he comes in and he does a seminar for local wrestlers. They pay to come to that seminar. Then if they perform that night, they're trying to sell some merch and try to make a few bucks that way. It's not the easiest life, but once again, if you are a performer, you will find ways to get back in the ring and perform. Our friend Tombstone Jesus, you know, he's a little bit older, and he was injured several years ago, and a bad injury at that, and he was told he would never wrestle again. But he kept working, and that man has no body fat, you know. You've seen him. And he loves to perform. And when I talked to him recently, just as a friend, he was talking about being a front man, because when he gets in the ring, you see how the crowd just reacts to him. The kids react to him. And that's something you can't buy. I mean, you either have it or you don't have it as far as that chemistry and that love of performing in front of the crowd.
I kind of that brought up another. I wasn't going to get this much detail. This was supposed to be just a quick cast, but you're leading this conversation in directions that I can't help myself. So you talk about how the fans are drawn to somebody like Tombstone Jesus, and even, you know, like Manny Lemons. When Manny comes out to the ring and he tosses out lemons, I mean, everybody cheers. they love Manny. He's such a good guy. He's got a good look. You know, he's good in the ring. So why can't somebody like Roman Reigns? You know, he's got the look. He's got the talent. But for heck's sakes, he could come out and hand fans $100 bills, and they still would have a sour taste in their mouth for him. What's the difference?
I'm going to disagree with you, okay?
Really?
Yeah, because I was just watching SmackDown from Friday night, and he comes out at the beginning of the show, and of course that music hits, and the crowd stood up. Now, he doesn't have great mic skills, but he's got that look, and now they're teaming him up with the Bloodline, with the Usos, and he had that nice feud with the constipated Baron Corbin. I really think that our personal dislike sometimes of a performer, me, Brock Lesnar, I mean, I could care less to see Brock Lesnar. I really could. But does he get a reaction from the crowd? And you guys talked about that. You and Chris talked about that on the last podcast.
Yeah.
Does he get a reaction from the crowd? He wouldn't from me. Does Roman Reigns get a reaction from you and Chris? Not usually. Me,
but
a little
bit. I'll tell you, Dave, when Brock came to Salt Lake, even it was just a squash match with the Big Show, it was unreal. And it was a house show.
Yeah, it was.
And I didn't think Brock would show up. I was like, they're advertising Brock. That's funny.
Yeah, I did too. Remember,
and
we talked
when
about that.
Brock,
yeah.
When his music hit, my jaw hit the floor.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, he's really here?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Right.
I mean, whether I was excited or not, he got a reaction out of me.
So I'm looking back at what happened with Roman Reigns, and I hate to keep bringing up his illness because, you know, that's a personal thing. And I, yeah. You know, being a cancer survivor myself, I don't want to say that his illness kind of bumped him up a little bit, but I think it might have changed people's perception of him at least a little bit because he hasn't been shoved down the throats of the WWE fans quite as much as he was before the illness and the cancer came back.
Does that mean, so we had a good discussion there. We both brought our points up. Are we allowed to kind of respect each other's opinions on that and still record the podcast? Or do
Hell
I have to hate
no.
you now?
Hell no. No.
Do I have to hate you now?
No. You know how we both feel about this. And I heard you and Chris talk about this and how if you are friends with somebody, you can disagree with them. Don't you think? And I think I can disagree with somebody on Facebook, and as long as they treat me with respect, I will treat them with a respect. But the minute they start, you know, calling me names, I'm just dropping the conversation. I don't want nothing to do with
that. Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting thing, Dave, you know, how different people, you know, and that's what Chris was talking about, you know, the WWE, they need to listen to the fans. But I disagree with him on that. Because
I do too. Yeah.
80, it's like that old saying goes, you know, what is it? You can please some of the people some of the time, the other people another time, but you can't please all the people all the time. You know, so if the WWE says, okay, 80% of people want Roman Reigns as the champion, but you're going to piss off the 20% that don't, you know, and you're going to hear about it.
You know why? People are more likely to complain about something than to praise something.
Yeah.
That's human nature. In business, if you're doing retail sales or maybe a door-to-door salesman, there's a figure out there, and I'm just trying to come up off the top of my head, that if you are a salesman, you might lose up to 20% of your clients within a given year. So you're always looking to build new clientele.
New clients.
Why do you lose clients? People go out of business, people die, people move, people get ticked off at you because something went wrong. So listening to the fans, yeah, but how much do you listen to the fans? Do you let someone who gets onto Facebook, maybe with 10 different accounts, and complains about a Roman Reigns? Are you listening to a Dave Denton who doesn't like Brock Lesnar? And I often say that, you know, a lot of people do, and, you know, more power to them. But who are you going to listen to? There's a time when you're in the creative process, and these guys are creative, that you've got to say, well, let's go with this and then see how it works. And then you can back out of it if it doesn't work. And that's just the facts of life. More people will complain about something than the people that will cheer on something.
Yeah, you know, and like I saw when the Rumble was going on, and, you know, Brock was throwing people over, and you wouldn't believe the comments I saw on several different outlets that were like, oh my gosh, Brock's the best heel in the business right now.
Right, saw that. A friend of ours said,
no, he's not. and again, I disagree. I don't think, because Brock Lesnar's not really booked as a heel.
No.
He's just booked as
a beast.
The beast, the unstoppable one, the one that nobody can get through. You know, the one that could care less about the fans, and the one that could, you know, care less if he shows up, as long as he's getting paid his money. And, you know, because I don't really think
that's his character. And I think that's his lifestyle too, from everything you hear and read. So, but that's his character. No, I disagree. I don't think he's the best heel in the business. I think it's MJF.
I agree with that.
That may be an old school heel. Maybe there's a difference between an old school heel and a new school heel. But I would say that MJF is a great heel. And you know who else is a great heel when he wants to be it, when they book him as a heel?
The Miz.
The Miz.
The Miz is the best. In my opinion, the Miz is the best. I don't know how you could, because there's a difference between somebody like MJF and the Miz. You know, MJF's, he's completely kayfabe. He's into his character. He's, you know, but the Miz is like the best. Because to me, a WWE heel and somebody like MJF are completely different. You can't compare them.
That's right. I agree.
You know, so I don't know what you'd call. I guess the Miz would probably be my favorite, or in my opinion, the best WWE heel character.
With Dolph Ziggler right behind that.
I would agree with that. And Daniel Bryan was an excellent.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
Heel as well. And Daniel Bryan is an excellent babyface too.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's what makes a good performer, is somebody that can get over with the crowd in both directions.
Right. Right.
You know, and a lot of people, you know, Miz still he's been in the business what, over 15 years.
Yeah.
And people still talk crap about Miz and how he got his start.
I think he's a great performer. I love watching the Miz in the ring now.
Oh, yeah, dude, and the Miz, in the last 4 years, his ring skills have gotten so crisp. I mean, he is so good. I think the Miz is probably one of my favorite all around people to watch personally.
Right.
I love his mic work. I love his ring work. I love his matches. I love, you know, the cheap shots from Maurice.
Uh-huh.
He's one of my favorites, that's for sure.
And I'll take you back to, I think it was a Monday Night Raw several years ago when Miz was being booked as a heel, and he won the championship. I might have been the big title. And they had the picture of that little girl, the Miz girl. Remember that scowl on her face?
Yeah.
Perfect. That was the best description of what a heel can do to a crowd. And I love the Miz.
You know, and then you get MJF, who takes it completely over the top, you know, and Edge comes back, and like 99.9% of people are all like, oh my gosh, Edge, it looks great. Oh, exciting. And just like, Edge looks like shiz. You know, don't break a hip, you old bag, you know.
Yeah. You know who Edge looked like to me? He looked like Sabretooth, you know, the villain against the Wolverine in comic books. I think it would make a great Sabretooth. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
You know, I never did watch any. He was in a TV show on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, I did a couple.
And
of
I never
them, yeah.
did. I never did watch that. I wonder how his acting skills are.
I heard it was really good. I didn't watch it either. But I heard a lot of comments that it stayed on the air for several years. He's done movie roles. He's done a lot of things. So good. More power to him.
Another question I have for you will kind of, I don't know if this is a downshift or an upshift, but it's a shift.
Shift. Couple. Yeah.
Yeah, not the guy that is trying to impeach Trump.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming, yeah. Go ahead.
Kristen seemed to know a lot about it, and neither do I, and so I'm thinking maybe there's something rattling around in your plethora of knowledge that you can reach into and help me understand this last week with the, from a corporate perspective, why those top executives were let go from WWE, why it affected the stock prices so much. They lost a quarter of the value of their stock overnight.
Right.
And so you
texted me yesterday one item. I want you to go ahead and say what you texted me yesterday.
What did I text you yesterday?
About stock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, since I heard that the shares dropped 25%, I thought, you know, the old MO of buy low, sell high.
Right.
So I went ahead and registered, got on the Robinhood app. You know, they should give us, you know, we should be a plug for them. They should give us an advertising cash for this, help us pay for our website instead of Dave and Zane having to fork out money all the time. But I downloaded the Robinhood app, got signed in, linked my bank account, and I bought one share of WWE stock.
You're a shareholder now, man.
I'm a shareholder now, so they have to listen to what I say.
That's right. I own a share.
Maybe after a couple more shares, I can be on the board.
Okay. I'm just speculating here about what happened. It might have been a cost-cutting measure. These executives at the top of any big corporation, and you got to admit, Titan Sports, huge corporation, okay? They're the biggest in this particular industry, and they have branched out into the WWE Network. They have NXT, Great Britain, or Britain, whatever they call it, Europe. There's been talk about them doing NXT in Japan. They're doing tours all over the country. They have to have support staff. So overhead is huge. And then one thing that I read this morning, and not necessarily wrestling related, that does start this Saturday. It's the XFL.
I was going to bring that up next.
Yeah, there is... There is the possibility if XFL, you know, folds like that American League of Professional Football did, what was it, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
If they fold before the season's over with, that Vince McMahon could personally lose over $350 million.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and it might have been a thing that Vince was, you know, saying, okay, we got to pull back in case this happens so it doesn't ruin the business. I don't know if that's a fact. I have no idea. But when you have you're unstable at the top of any business, I mean, not just Titan Sports, any business that shows instability at the top, there's going to be a ripple effect, especially for the shareholders on the stock exchange. And that's one of the bad things about WWE going public like they did several years ago, that they have all these investors that freak out when there is a little hiccup, and they think they can make that little hiccup into a big old fat belch, and it can cause some real problems.
So that's why in your opinion and in your speculation and your crystal ball that you have there in front of you.
Just a speculation.
Why don't you ever show me your crystal ball when I come over? You know, you never have shown me how the Dave's plethora of knowledge crystal ball works. I'm a little bit offended.
You know, when you say that,
it's just a secret that this is a secret thing that you only Teresa knows about. You can't tell me.
I don't know where this particular item is. I don't know whether we got rid of it or sold it. But at one time, we found in one of our thrift stores in Utah, we found like the size of a cue ball that was crystal clear, beautiful. And we put it on our mantelpiece just because it looked good. And that was my crystal ball. But I don't even know where it's at now. So,
or do you just have a magic eight ball there that you shake every time I ask you a question?
The answer is shake again.
Check again. Dave's like, oh, crap. What am I going to do? How am I going to answer this question? I got to come up with something real quick.
Right.
So, thank you for helping me understand that, because you're very involved. I mean, over the years, you're a smart cat, Dave, with business and with media and the things that you're involved with. So you bring a very unique perspective to this podcast that I don't think a lot of other shows have with your media background. So thank you for sharing your thoughts on that.
You know, I really appreciate that because, you know, like I said, I'm in the low end of the performing business. I mean, you know, I'm a small celebrity in Northern Utah. I'm not a big one. Not everybody knows who I am, but there are a lot of people know who I am and what I do. And it's very nice to be recognized. So I understand how someone who is a performer can either let it go to their head or how it can get almost addictive because it is so cool to have people come up, pat you on the back, and talk to you about something you said or something you've done and how much they enjoy your show.
Well,
it's great.
Yeah, you know, think about this back to the story of how you and I met. I mean, here we literally live, you know, at the time I was living in Logan, and we literally lived half a mile apart.
That's right, we did.
Yeah. I didn't have any idea who you were. I met you, I saw you one time at the radio station because you brought me out a gift card to Plant Peddler Floral. God, we're giving people lots of plugs. They should pay for this advertising.
So I know Ed very well, the owner of that business. Ed, I need free flowers here. And he would give them to me. I'll tell you. He's a great guy.
But, you know, so I just, all I did is I knew who you were.
Yeah.
I didn't know you personally. And here it takes a trip to Salt Lake to get us to be like, oh my gosh, we have something in common. How cool is that?
That was cool.
That the universe united on that night. See, so people that say that wrestling doesn't mean anything, you know, if it wasn't for professional wrestling, I never would have met one of my best friends, Dr. Dave Denton.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I would have met one of my favorite friends, my best friends too. I mean, I use you as a sounding board, and I think you do me too sometimes. So.
I know. I love it. I love it. So Dave, you said that the XFL.
Not now, Marge. I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's million-dollar game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
The big announcement. Ooh. Who are you going to cheer for?
Everybody.
Did you pick out your team yet? I would have thought you'd be a St. Louis fan.
That's what I was about to say. Probably a St. Louis fan because I have so many friends in St. Louis. I was a St. Louis football Cardinal fan. But you know what? I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to watch it. I guarantee I'm going to watch it. I'm going to see.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't dislike the first incarnation of the XFL. I think this time the talk is they're not going to have all the wrestling tie-ins like they did before. I mean, when you have Jim Ross. Yeah. And they had Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler doing the play-by-play and the color. They're doing it more like a football league instead of football outside of wrestling. And Vince lost a lot of money with that. Vince has lost a lot of money before. Remember he had the bodybuilding competition when they brought in Lex Luger? Yeah. So it's business, and people sometimes step in it or they make it into gold. And I hope they make it into gold, man.
No risk, no reward.
That's right.
I mean, Vince could have sat back and kept his $350 million and it would have been fine, but he says, hey, I want to try this and give it a go. So good for him.
That's right.
Yeah, St. Louis has a cool logo. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah,
I've been. Yeah, they're way cool. And I like the Dallas Renegades logo too. I think that's really cool too.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be really neat. I'm really excited to see, because it's been pretty tight-lipped about, you know, the rules and some of the staff and some of the players. And you know, I know that you can go online and probably find all their names and all that information and stuff, but it's like, you know, for people that casual fans like myself, I don't know a lot of these people, but he is watching it that's a big sports fan and a college football fan, and they'll be like, oh, hey, that guy, he played for, you know, my hometown college. I'm going to check that team out.
Yeah, and they're kind of tweaking some of the rules. I mean,
yeah.
Even SI, ESPN, CBS Sports, they all talked about the new overtime rules in the XFL, which they say are better than the NFL's. Plus, they're making two timeouts per half instead of three, trying to speed up the game so someone doesn't have to stay for 4 hours to watch a football game. Monday Night Raw, 3 hours. Maybe
I was
going to
say, why can't he
take
that advice into Raw?
Come on, Vince. 3 hours. You can put that show into 2.5 or 2:15 easily.
Yo, you know what we need to do? We need to make a football league. Make it shorter.
That's right.
Mr. McMahon, what do you think about Raw being long?
You're fired.
Well, you know, I don't know if they're going to let the people, you know, the players have their nicknames on the back of their jerseys, like He Hate Me, Rod Smart, who also went on to play in the NFL. They took a lot of flack from that. But you got to have fun. And that was one of the reasons the original XFL came to be, was because the NFL was doing so much to take away the fun out of professional football. So I hope it puts it back in some.
You know, and I've told you a lot of times how I'm honestly surprised that there wasn't more of an arena football following. I mean, that's all pretty much
it's done.
Gone. There's not much left of it. If there is a league, it's probably really small.
Yeah, they have several smaller leagues around. But the Arena Football League has folded.
Yeah, when the Utah Blaze
were
playing, you know, I'll be honest with you, Dave, I would have rather watched a Utah Blaze game than a BYU football game. You know, it was fast-paced. It was hard-hitting. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was they got the crowd into it. You know, it was a lot of fun. It wasn't just sitting there watching them call out plays and, you know, the coach talking to them on the sidelines. I mean, it was like they had a lot more freedom to make the play calls out on the field and to just get down, you know, the arena there. And, I mean, high scores because of the short arena. And,
right.
I mean, it was a lot of fun. It honestly really truly was a lot of fun. And I'm hoping for the same type of deal with the XFL, that with some of these rule changes, tightening up the halves a little bit and, you know, letting them and you know, the number one thing that I loved the most about it was when Vince announced it and he said, you know, when you come and play for the XFL, he's like, we're here to provide entertainment for people, so keep your own political views and your own crap to yourselves.
Yeah.
And it won't be displayed on the XFL field.
Yeah.
And I know the NFL's done a little bit better job this year of the camera panning away from people kneeling down and teams staying in the locker room till after, you know, the anthems. And so they're kind of trying to do that, but there's never been an official announcement that says, hey, knock it off. You know, the NFL, like, oh, it's their freedom of speech. We can't tell them. It's like, no, they work for you.
That's right.
You know, that's why I love Vince. 'Cause you know, even in his wrestling world, you know, he demands a lot out of his performers, you know, like Dean Ambrose. He hated that. It kind of goes back to what we've talked about, what brought us into the pod together, was Vince demands a lot out of his performers. You know, you have this character, and that's who you're going to be. You know why? Because I signed your check.
But, okay, I'm glad
people hate that.
I'm glad you brought this up going back to the beginning, because I had a thought when you were talking about one of the revival had a broken jaw and they extended their contract for 6 weeks because they couldn't use him. But you know that they are independent contractors.
Yeah.
They are
yeah.
not employees. They have yeah. to provide their own health insurance, and they have to have proof of that insurance. So sometimes I'm looking at the WWE and I'm saying, you shouldn't have it both ways. And right now
yeah.
they do. I
yep.
wonder how long that's going to last. I wonder if somebody could take them to court and say, you know what? I am an independent contractor and I'm going to cut it off right here. I'm no longer under contract to you, and take them to court.
You know, it would sure be interesting to see that. I know. What was the deal with that court case that was making waves? Was that what was that 2 years ago when two performers were suing the? I don't know who it was. Do you recall that?
CM Punk. You know, Boom Boom Cabana, Colt Cabana.
Oh yeah, Colt Cabana.
Yeah, there was the thing about CM Punk was suing. Because he was not happy because of medical care, and then when they went on the Colt Cabana's podcast, they were just really lambasting the doctor and the WWE, and there were some lawsuits revolving around that. And because of that, and the lawsuits and the money involved, Colt Cabana and CM Punk, at last I heard, were not even talking to each other because money. You know, money got in the way of the friendship. So.
Yeah,
there was that's both of them were being sued. There were some, you know, I'm just doing this off the top of my head. There were some promises made by both parties of Colt Cabana and CM Punk, and one of them, I'm not even going to say who, one of them didn't live up to what they said they would do, and that's a shame. That's a shame.
Yeah, that's too bad. But I mean, so what are your thoughts on that though? Like, you know, basically, some of these times. Like with Dean Ambrose, you know, that's a tough call for me because Vince signs their checks. So essentially he can do what he wants, I guess. But in the end, he doesn't own their lives.
That's true.
And I think that this is personal thought. This doesn't have anything to do. I think sometimes the corporation, Vince, has a hard time realizing that they have lives outside of the WWE.
Yeah.
They're people. They're not just tools for the WWE to use as entertainment value. But you know, then again, he signs their checks. So I don't know. What do you do about that?
Well, we talk about how sometimes life gets in the way of performing, and, you know, people go through tragedies in their lives. They, you know, maybe they're having marital issues. Maybe they're having health issues. Maybe they're having, you know, let's talk about one of the Usos, how much trouble he got into within the last year because he couldn't control his drinking, got in trouble with the law, and he just came back. But I guess sometimes you have to, as a person, think about how you represent your company and your life. A lot of people that go under contract have morals clauses in there. And they call out certain things. A lot of wrestlers are told they can't ride motorcycles. They can't do jumping out of airplanes and things like that. That's in the contract. Me, I don't have a contract where I work, but I guarantee you this happened to me probably 2.5 years ago. I was sitting at home and I look at a news site that the radio station runs, and there's my name in a news story that revolved around somebody doing something very, very, very questionable. I mean, it was, they did a terrible thing. Okay. I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to get anything, but my name was right there, but it wasn't me, but it was my name. And for a short time was associated because on a chat room, somebody says, oh yeah, he's the guy in the morning on Cool 103.9.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't. So the radio station, thank you, powers that be, at the end of their story say, no, this is not the Dave Denton on Cool 103.9. It is another person completely. I was freaking out back here at my house thinking about people that I knew, people that I respect, people that I love, maybe hearing this or seeing this and thinking I had done this horrible thing. So if I had done that horrible thing, I would hope I got canned, you know, but I didn't do it. And I'm glad somebody didn't have a knee-jerk reaction and call my boss and say, you got to get rid of him, you know. But it wasn't me. I'll tell you that. And everything was cleared up. But you do have morals clauses sometimes in contracts. And if you, Zane, with your employer, if you did something just completely illegal, maybe it was with the business or outside of the business, and you got caught and charged, you might not have a job the next day.
Well, yeah, and that actually did happen to me, and that's one of the reasons why I left the college in Logan, because something did happen outside of work, off of company time, and I got in big trouble for it. And they said, you know, you're a representative of this college 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I disagree with that because I never signed a contract with them. I was an at-will employee. And so in the end, you know, I guess you could, it's a double-edged sword, but you'd hope that your employer and Vince and stuff would be fair to his people. And that's the big sales point of AEW and Cody and why he's getting a lot of traction over there.
Right.
People can make fun of him all they want and say he doesn't have any big names and stories and this and that. But I will tell you what, if he keeps up the traction, you're going to see AEW with the things Cody's offering, which I hope they're not just, you know, sales pitches. You know, Cody's talked about, you know, retirement plans and health insurance plans and almost like a union of sorts and ways that the people can get, the performers can get their recognition. And I'll tell you what, if that sticks, you're going to start seeing more and more people migrate that way when contracts are up. And, you know, like there was, Chris even said that the rumor was that Edge was even in slight negotiations with AEW, which I don't know how accurate that is. And I know that in the end, a guy like Edge wouldn't probably ever go to AEW, but you know, like DDP's there doing stuff and that's a big name.
You know, one of the things about AEW, and by the way, I'm wearing my brand new AEW shirt that I received yesterday.
Send me a picture of that.
I will definitely do that. Brought, and it's got Mr. Wrestling number 2, the old mask wrestler. I think it's him anyway. It's a mask wrestler on the front of it. It's really cool looking. But anyway, AEW, people talk about them not having storylines. They are developing their storylines. It takes a while to get storylines going. I see more and more storylines every week when I watch AEW, and I'm impressed with what they are doing. You know, they've had a couple of missteps, a couple of hiccups, but we expected that. But they've already signed another year on TNT and got a second show, so more power to them, Bubba.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm really excited because I think that, you know, it's really good for everybody in the industry. It's good for independents. It gives them more avenues. It gives, you know, WWE, it kind of gives them some competition. You know, Vince, he can laugh, and Triple H can call it a pissant company, and they can make fun of it all they want. But, you know, if they weren't worried about just a skosh of AEW, I don't think that they would have offered, you know, some of these people some quite large sums of money. And I mean, like Dolph Ziggler, we all thought he was gone.
Yeah,
we thought he was done. And you know, and we're, you and I are in the background going, yes, Dolph, leave, get out of there, go to ROH, go to Impact, I think it was right around the time of AEW starting, but we didn't know what the details were on it. But I remember you and I saying how much better off a guy like Dolph would be to go to another company and get more creative control and stuff like Dean Ambrose did. And in the end, guess what he did? They offered him some serious buku cash.
They offered him a lot of money, and he has been a champion. He's been involved in major storylines, although he is still kind of, quote, enhancement talent. Yeah. I mean, he gets people over. I remember when he signed that contract, he said, yeah, I'm going to be getting people over, and that's what they're paying me for. And he's doing a fantastic job getting people over. Dolph, he's the man. I think Dolph Ziggler's great.
He found something that he was willing to do within the company that they could all agree on. Right. You know, he could have been, you know, like Bret Hart and some others and flipped in the bird and left and you know, gone on podcasts and talked about how crappy they were and how terrible they were and stuff. But it does show respect and restraint from him to be able to sit down and have negotiations with them and not get his head in the way, you know? So, you know, but it's good for everybody. Good for everybody for AEW to have, you know, a lot of good talent over there. It's good for, you know, Impact's doing some strange things, but hey, we're mentioning their name more now than we have in the last 2 years, at least on our pod. You know, we brought them up several times in the last couple of pods and we haven't been talking about them for years. So whatever they're doing, it's slightly working. Like you always say, negative press is still press, right?
That's right. No bad publicity.
Yeah. And so, Dave, I think it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah. We were talking about CM Punk, and he's on WWE Backstage on Fox. And I haven't seen him there in a couple of weeks. They haven't talked about him. And I'm wondering if he's still associated with that. Have you heard anything?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything that he's not, but I haven't heard anything that he is. So I haven't heard anything. I know that he had a little pissing match with Seth Rollins for a minute. And maybe he just, I don't know if he gave him the finger and told him he didn't want to be involved with Seth Rollins pissing match.
Okay, I just pulled this up. I Googled it, and it posted 1 hour ago. CM Punk's next appearance on Backstage has been officially confirmed for next week. Yeah, so they announced that last night on Backstage, which I very rarely watch that. It's a good program, but just trying to find time to watch everything is very, very tough. But
I hadn't
seen him mentioned for several weeks, so I wanted to ask that question.
You know, I wonder if we could get, you know how like people get those full-time jobs playing video games and stuff like that?
Yes.
Do you think we could get, because, you know, we could literally turn professional wrestling watching into a full-time job. I wonder if we get sick of it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Raw, SmackDown, NWA, ROH, Impact.
I love professional wrestling. I really do. But when I was editing the last podcast, when I was putting it all together, I had a chance to sit down and watch Monday Night Raw as soon as I was through. And I started watching. I said, I'm wrestled out. I got to do something else. I mean, and I haven't watched it yet. And here we are on Wednesday, but I plan on watching it this afternoon. So,
yeah, I get that way every once in a while, too. You know, where I'll watch, you know, a WWE pay-per-view, and I'll be like, oh, hey, you know, I'm going to go check out what's going on over here. And then I'll be like, oh, that's good, but yeah. I saw that. We've seen that before. Yeah. So, but all in all, it's still a great pastime, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun to get together with somebody as knowledgeable as you. So thank you for all the work you put into the podcast, Dave, and the program and the editing and all that stuff. You do a great job, so thanks.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
So, well, Dave, not all of us have the privilege of making our own schedule like you. So I unfortunately have to go back to work.
Okay. Yeah. You tell me that at 4:15 when I'm waking up every morning.
I know, Dave. I know. Yes, Dave gets up very, very early to prepare. You know, you got a lot of prep work for that morning show, don't you?
Yeah, I do. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that has to take place to be entertaining.
Yes, Dave, yeah. And you do a very good job on your program and for the local radio stations. So,
thank you, sir.
Enjoy your lunch. It sounds like you're warming something up in the radiation machine.
Yeah.
So I hope it's delicious, and I hope you'll eat two of them, one for me and one for you.
I definitely will.
Hey, Dave, I'm signing off, so thank you again, and it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
What do you think about Raw being long?
You're fired.
I'm fond of you. I love you like a brother. Boy, did I get that a few times when I was dating.
I tell you, I take the million books.
Money talks, baby. Shucky, shucky, quack, quack.
I was thinking while you were saying that, you know, because I wasn't listening to you.
It was the most eloquent soliloquy. I mean, it was Shakespeare-like, I'm telling you.
I'm sorry, Dave. Were you talking again? No, he's not. It's a shift.
Shift. Couple.
Yeah, not the guy that is trying to teach Trump.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming, yeah. Go ahead.
So, and I bought one share of WWE stock.
You're a shareholder now, man.
I'm a shareholder now, so they have to listen to what I say.
That they have all these investors that freak out when there is a little hiccup. And they think they can make that little hiccup into a big old fat belch stay for 4 hours to watch a football game. Monday Night Raw, 3 hours, maybe.
I was going to say, why can't he take that advice into Raw?